So this morning, I was going to say we have a special guest, but he's not really a guest. He's kind of like part of the woodwork around here. He and his wife, Lorraine, they've been here in this area for 25 years or so. And when they came, they joined in Holden Chapel and our school ministry, Holden Christian Academy. And they were instrumental in so many things in these last 25 years. He was an elder in the church. They helped in different ministries, in different ministry capacities. And they were always generous with their time and their commitment to the body of Christ. And so they will sadly be moving soon to North Carolina. This isn't their last week. Next week will be their last week. So 29th will. Oh, we're changing that on us. All right, so you have a little more time with them. A little more time to enjoy their company, but also to thank them for their years of ministry and their faithfulness as members of the church, to get right in there and to help us to grow. And so we're just glad to be able to have Dan share some of his testimony with us this morning. He's been instrumental in working in our men's ministry and in the recovery area. And so he's going to give a testimony and he's going to share some lessons, some things that he's learned that he thinks we also need to continue to grow in. He knows us well, so he can speak to us well on this issue. How can we grow? How can we continue to grow? Even after Dan and Lorraine have moved to North Carolina, he wants to leave us with a word from God. So Dan, why don't you come up and share with us this morning?
Good morning, Holden Chapel. First, let me say happy Father's Day. I know Father's Day is always a tricky one because some folks have complicated relationships with their dads. So even as I was praying this morning, that song, "You're a Good, Good Father," came to mind because we do have a Heavenly Father that loves us, cares for us, always wants the best for us. So, you know, happy Father's Day. I want to read Psalm 133 this morning. It's from David. How delightfully good when brothers, or God's family, live together in harmony. Another word is unity. It is like fine oil on the head, running down on the beard, running down Aaron's beard onto his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon falling on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has anointed the blessing, life forevermore. I want to focus on these two lines highlighted in red and offer my testimony as a witness to God's faithfulness. Because it says, how delightfully good when brothers, God's family, live together in harmony or unity. For there, when we're living together in harmony, the Lord has appointed the blessing, life forevermore. So, Holden Chapel family, how are we doing with this living together in unity thing? More importantly, unless you're thinking we're perfect, if we're not there, how do we get better at it? Let me give you my one-word answer. Connection. God created us for it. He desires to be connected with Him and with each other. Now, you're probably asking, why am I, Dan, not a pastor, not a biblical scholar? Hopefully, as I'm sharing this morning, Lorraine says, you got to stop moving. So hopefully I won't move too much on you this morning. Why am I giving my testimony on this subject on Father's Day? And as Pastor Tom says, isn't Dan leaving us soon, essentially disconnecting with us? Yes, it is true. Lorraine and I are moving to Greensboro, North Carolina, to be with my middle daughter and her husband and their incoming baby. Amen, right? Amen. And as I said, our last Sunday here will likely be June 29th. I asked Pastor Tom to do the little going away thing next Sunday, the 22nd, because I know a lot of people said they're going to be away for the 4th of July week, and We just really want a chance to say bye to as many folks as possible. But over the last 25 plus years, God's been doing some work in me. And a couple of months ago, God said, Dan, you need to speak about connection. And I was like, okay, that's not me, God. That's somebody else. Give it to Aaron. There's got to be an Aaron in here because I'm like a Moses. I can't speak. He said, nope. So he gave it to me. I'm doing it on Father's Day. It just kind of makes me wonder. And again, Pastor Tom's message last week just really convicted me that, okay, I need to do it. Because Pastor Tom's message was, we all need each other, the power of praying together. And how can you pray together if you're not connected with one another, if there's no unity? So again, as we know, there's no coincidences with God. So today I'm speaking as a dad and as a man who hasn't always known how to deeply connect with others. Although I think I'm starting to get better at this. I'll be primarily speaking to the men of Holden Chapel, since candidly, I think we men have the most room for improvement. If you need proof, look no further than the women's conference they had here about a month ago called One, where ladies from several area churches gathered together. And by the end of today, because I came in to help clean up, they were engaged in deep, meaningful conversations with women they just met that morning. It was like, wow, that's awesome. I'm also trying not to use the word relationship as much, because I think that tends to be overused, much like, you know, how many friends you have in Facebook. This idea of connection has some nice connotations for me. So before I give you my thoughts on the topic of connection, let me give you a little bit of my testimony mixed in with some background information on me for those who don't know me beyond being the smiling greeter or the hugging greeter for some of you. I want to also add all glory to God since he has redeemed me, my marriage, and has chosen to use me to assist in the ministry of restoration in so many relationships. So who am I? I was the fifth out of seven kids. Can you guess which one? Yeah, there's that handsome fella right in the middle. And as I reflect back, I learned two things from my large Italian family. One, I got recognized when I accomplished stuff. I was the classic value through performance guy. And second, perhaps more impactful, was how to stuff difficult emotions. My dad, a hard-working mailman, simply made us drink a glass of water whenever we were upset. I don't really understand. There's probably some science aspect of this, but if you're ready to cry or crying and you drink a glass of water, it somehow causes your body to stop crying. And I never drank so much water when I was a kid. And when you had three older brothers, you did a lot of drinking water. So I began to understand that emotions not only weren't safe to share, but also really needed to be minimized or stuffed, suppressed, controlled. As a result, my lack of nurture, which is defined as a safe feeling of being loved and cared for, caused me to seek alternate solutions, which left me seeking attention and affection from anyone, without developing the skills I needed on how to handle those difficult emotions. I was a very broken, emotionally disconnected young man. As a result, I fell into the trap of trying to numb those feelings or simply wanting to feel good through the false promise of pornography. And by college, I was fully addicted. My brain was essentially hijacked, since that feel-good drug, which we all know is dopamine, could subconsciously be summoned anytime I felt sad, lonely, or uncomfortable. When I became a Christian in college, praise the Lord, a couple things changed rather quickly. I used to swear like a sailor. That stopped immediately. I also realized that my need to build myself up by tearing others down also needed to stop. And that stopped, that happened also very quickly. Unfortunately, my hijacked brain was quite dysfunctional. And as a result of the pornography, every failure after being told, just stop, read the Bible more, pray more, by well-meaning, they didn't intend to cause me additional pain. Well-meaning Christian brothers and pastors only increased my sense that I indeed was broken beyond repair. Sadly, I carried this addiction into my marriage, and it almost cost me everything I valued. Quick sidebar here. Please educate yourself in this area, since I fear it's without knowledge, it would be very easy to offer the same advice that I was offered. Just stop. Pray more. Read the Bible more. Reading the Bible more and praying more, absolutely valuable, essential. But unless you're dealing and working through solving those underlying wounds, pain, it's just going to heap condemnation. So talk to me if you're interested. A key occurrence in my journey to health was when I met with a therapist who helped me to realize the antidote for my lack of nurture was healthy male connections. What? I could be fixed, repaired through healthy friendships? I still didn't understand the magic of connection then, but I'll tell you what, I was desperate to get healthy and was willing to do almost anything in that pursuit. Later on, I happened to find this verse. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James 5:16. Now, let me tell you something about that verse. I'm not confessing my sin to someone that I don't have a connection with. I'm just not going to walk to someone off the street and start confessing my sin. You need to be connected in order for that to start really working, right? So that just reminded me, stuck in. So what was my first step? Again, while reading the Bible one day, I fell upon the Apostle Paul and his example, and I saw three vital roles that I believe are core pillars for anyone seeking to get healthy. The first one, I think everyone needs a more mature believer who can guide you, someone who's your mentor. I call him my Pauls because I'm a man. So, and Paul was like this spiritual giant. You want someone to kind of help you anytime you have questions to say, okay, help me understand this. What should I do here? Someone that you can rely on. The second is a true friend. And I put true in parentheses, or quotes, excuse me, because we all have friends that aren't true friends, right? A true friend is someone that knows everything about you. There's nothing you can't tell. Even when you screw up, you can tell them. They're going to love you. They're going to stick with you. But they're also going to call you out and try to help you to be better, right? You need that level, okay? I call them my Barnabas. I've been blessed to have many Barnabas brothers in my lifetime since I've been working on this. And the last important relationship or friendship that you need is with a less mature believer. Again, I call him my Timothy. Because there's something that happens when you're taking the time to invest in a younger, less mature, maybe it's a, I don't want to say younger, less mature believer. You get challenged because they're going to ask you questions and you're going to have to figure out the right answer rather than just kind of give them the glib, churchy answer, right? So let me ask you a question. Who are your three? If you haven't identified at least one person in each of these categories, challenge one today is take your time later when you're praying, quiet time, write down, guys, who's your Paul, your Barnabas, your Timothy? Ladies, I'm not sure what the right name is, but just for that reference point, okay, those three. Here's the thing. You got to start with those three, but you can and should eventually have more than one person in each role. They just don't happen. The guys that are in my group know I've got two favorite words, intentionality and ruthlessness, okay? You got to be intentional about developing those relationships, and you have to be ruthless. Now, not in a mean way, but you got to prioritize them, because the world is going to certainly figure out enough reasons why. My wife likes to tease me because she says, I think you go to the 122 diner 5 days a week. Now, maybe not 5 days a week, but I know it's at least one to two. And they know me there. I feel like I'm Norm from Cheers. But I'm connecting with other guys. I'm talking with them. I'm not talking about, we're not going to talk baseball today. I'm not talking about sports. I mean, you may start there, but you're always talking about deeper things, things that matter, things that you're struggling with. There's a lot of mornings when I want to sleep in or I'm busy. If I'm not intentional, those get-togethers aren't happening, okay? So be intentional, be ruthless. Prioritize them. One of these Barnabas brothers encouraged me to keep digging deeper with him. So he and I began the FMO, Ferment Only ministry here in 2003, which now consists of two separate weekly year-round meetings. And in these groups, we learn together how to renew our minds physiologically and journey into health. The core principles of these groups are trust, honesty, vulnerability, and confidentiality, all of which foster connection, by the way. So getting back to the topic of connection, it's been said we are experiencing an epidemic of loneliness in America. But honestly, up until 2020, I thought my observations were only related to men struggling to renew their minds in the battle for sexual purity. Then we all know what happened in 2020, COVID. We all remember it and the pandemic that kept us apart and the devastating results of that isolation on our mental health and well-being. Even beyond that, ongoing, there's a downside of our increased or continued reliance on technology. I mean, who hasn't been out to a restaurant and seen a whole family on their iPhones at the restaurant? Increased reliance on entertainment and our busy lives that leave us exhausted and inclined to keep to ourselves. Robert Waldinger, professor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School, stated that loneliness kills. It's as powerful as smoking or alcoholism. There is a growing body of research that is confirming how God designed us and what the Bible has been teaching all along. We need each other. Coincidentally, I was fortunate to be in a position to retire in June of 2021 and came up on my highlights were my 2-point retirement plan. Again, that's me. That's the way I think. I started looking to get involved with things with purpose. And many of you have heard me give that little talk privately. And also finding ways to stay connected with others. God led Lorraine and me to further invest our time and energy in several ways that would help us live a life connecting with others, both inside and outside the church. So please hear me. This is not a look at me, how wonderful I am, or any of that, okay? I'm just going to give you some examples of how I personally sought connection in ways that matched my gifts. So I continued my involvement in the church through the FMO group. Since being retired, I was able to participate in the men's morning Bible study. And timing worked out where I even came on staff for 2 years after COVID. Community-wise, I continued my involvement by continuing to support my good old Eagle Lake, playing volleyball in some leagues. And then I started delivering Meals on Wheels to seniors. Love my people back there. And then Lorraine and I had a chance to volunteer together at a place called the Center for Family Connection. It's a program that helps children who have experienced trauma begin to heal by safely connecting with trusted adults through an approach emphasizing, what else? Connection and something called felt safety. I could talk at length about any of these things, but my heart today is in helping people grow deeper with each other and most importantly with God. We believe in connection, not because I heard it was a good thing. No, we believe it because God created us for it, right? What's one of the first things that God said? It is not good for man to be alone. Amen. A university study following people over many years concluded close relationships, connection, more than money or fame are what keep people happy throughout their lives. Those ties protect people from life's discontents. They help to delay mental and physical decline and are better predictors of long and happy lives than social class, IQ, or even genes. Here's the thing. When we feel safe, our nervous systems, our entire bodies undergo a massive shift that primes us to be healthier, happier, smarter, to be better learners and problem solvers, to have more fun, I'm all about that, to heal faster, and generally to feel more alive. As Christ followers, we are called to exemplify the 59 one another's in Scripture. If you don't know them, there's websites, just type in 59 one another's in Scripture, and you can read all 59, it's awesome, I did that the other day. But let me just give you a couple that just struck me for this week. Love one another. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. As we love, encourage, serve, and forgive one another, according to Scripture, we provide that sense of safety, bringing healing and building up of the church body, of the Christian body. Conversely, provoking, envying, gossiping, passing judgment, these all work against the unity of the body. Most of you know the story about the parable of the Good Samaritan. But for those who might not, let me just briefly summarize it. There's a man, he's been beaten up, he's on the side of the road. Two religious leaders walk by in succession. First one walks by, looks, crosses the road. The second one does that. Finally, a third person, a Samaritan, who is the lowest class of citizen in that society, stops and helps. Okay, humor me for a second. Everybody close your eyes. Imagine you are the person who was left beaten and abandoned by the side of the road. Just think about you being in that place for a minute. You know, life circumstances and situations can wear you down. And we often feel beaten by the challenges of life as we lie on the side of life's road. Haven't we all felt this at one time or another, wishing someone would help and see us? Like those in the parable, we are faced with a choice when we encounter another person in pain. How will we respond? As I said, we know what the first two who encountered the man did. Instead of acting with mercy and offering support and love, they walked right on by, stepping over his pain. But when a Samaritan saw him, his heart went out to him. With compassion, he stopped what he was doing and attended to his needs, using the resources he had. Think back over your own experiences. Maybe times when you were hurting and were passed by. Or hopefully times when you were in need and someone came along with compassionate love. In preparing this message, I was struck by this prayer that I came across. Let me read it. It's written by St. Teresa of Avila, and it's called, Christ has no body but yours. Christ has no body now but yours. No hand, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. Each one of you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Amen. So, go back to my original question. How are we, the body of Holden Chapel, doing this with this living together in unity thing? Is it true? Are we working towards healthy connection, which is a fundamental building block of unity? Personally, I think sometimes we do awesome. Other times, not so much. So here's two questions I'm going to give you that we all need to ask ourselves. Question one, are we intentionally building deeper connections with others? Do you take the time to build deeper bonds with each other? Are you moving towards appropriate vulnerability and transparency with each other? I use the word appropriate because you need to know who can be trusted, what you can share with someone. You don't walk up to a stranger and start sharing deep secrets. It just takes time to build up, which goes back to my earlier point about intentionality and ruthlessness. Or maybe you've been hurt by others and decided, this trust, it's not worth the risk ever. I'm just going to keep myself in my little circle, my little safe circle. Or is it simply a case of a lack of discernment regarding who is safe? Do each of you realize the importance of building relationships slowly and intentionally? Again, when I first identified my three guys who I thought might be my three people, I still took the time to slowly meet with them, talk with them, share with them, let them feed into me. Some people are too busy in all the other stuff and they're not good candidates, but you don't do that immediately. It takes time. Or perhaps, going back to this question, have you become so good at playing church that you've forgotten what healthy and an authentic connection looks like? Or maybe you're still trying to figure out how to balance the needs of the body versus your own self-care, right? Anyone who's ever flown, and if you're flying with kids, they tell you, make sure you put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your kids. At first, you're like, what? They're the ones that need the help. You're like, yeah, but if you're not safe, if you're not able to continue on, they're in worse shape. Or, again, if you become just too busy doing rather than being. So that's question. All things are on question one. Second question, are we making others feel welcome while still fostering a sense of community? Sometimes it's easy to forget our mandate to make disciples. Do visitors feel welcome? We are all greeters, not just the two folks that stand at the front door. Every one of you is a greeter. Look for those new folks. Sometimes I fear we get engaged in what I call the holy huddles, where there's a guy, I know him, I know him, I know him, and then you circle around those guys that you know rather than being aware of others that might need a hello, a check-in. I was struck by a quote by John Maxwell. It says, stay in the church, but keep moving toward the lost. Do I prefer things according to my personal tastes, or do I check it against God's will and truth, such as the music style, the preaching style, to name a couple? So, my final challenge to all of us, both men and women, is this. Be intentional and ruthless as you seek to connect at a deeper level with a small group of trusted people. Take it from experience, no one can initially connect with a large group of people well. The process is not always easy. You're going to make some mistakes, but it's always worth it. And the beauty is, as you grow in this, your ability to connect with more people grows with it. What's the key? Humility. No better example than Jesus washing his disciples' feet and serving them. If you come across as more spiritual, more knowledgeable, it's really hard to connect with someone that comes across to you that way, right? Humility is key. Many of you may not know that I had the honor of performing a marriage ceremony for the son of one of my Barnabas brothers last fall. The couple, I gave them a bunch of choices, and they chose this verse to be shared, and it seems appropriate to share it again today. It's from Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either fall, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. I'm going to have my partner, Lorraine, well, my wife of 43 years, come up. Lorraine and I have been blessed by growing together with you these past 25 plus years. Honestly, if you know Lorraine, she is like, if you would give out degrees, she's a PhD. I'm still an undergrad. But if you take those steps and keep taking those steps, God will create something beautiful and continue to create something beautiful. We were drawn here back in 1999 because I remember telling Lorraine after we visited that first time, and if you know me, every time we move to a new area, I create a spreadsheet, which we're doing for North Carolina, and I'm ranking stuff and, you know, trying to get a sense of churches. But we came here, and we didn't join right away because we still, my spreadsheet said you had to check all these other churches out. But I remember saying, there's family. That feels like family. And that's the beauty of that community, right? So leaving is definitely bittersweet because we have connected well with so many of you. We may leave at the end of the month. We'll probably be back from time to time. Lorraine has her sister up in Leominster. So many friends. But we will always carry a piece of you with us. Lorraine and I just want to pray for the church. Father God, we thank you for bringing us here. You don't bring people out. You bring people to. So thank you for bringing us here to Holden Chapel. And we know that means you're bringing us to a church in Greensboro, a church that whatever gifts we're able to use, that's your purpose for. So we thank you that you have good plans and purposes for us. God, continue to be present each and every week at Holden Chapel. May you live as an ever healthier church as you seek deeper connection with God first and then with each other. We give you permission to work in us to mend broken relationships, to continue loving and supporting each other. Each of us needs to take that first step, reach out, and continue to be known in the community as a family that loves well. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We know that you are doing a good work, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love you guys. Would you join me as we pray for Dan and Lorraine? God, we thank you for this dear brother and sister. We thank you for the way they've shared their lives so generously with us, corporately, but also individually as friends and becoming family. Brothers and sisters in Christ who understand that it's not easy, that we have to persevere. We have to keep moving together as one body so that Christ can be formed in us. Thank you for forming Christ in them and for drawing them to this body at Holden Chapel. And we pray that as you draw them to a new body, Lord, that you will continue to bless them and continue to help them to be a blessing to those people and that community that they are going to join. Lord, we will miss them. It's going to be hard to fill their shoes, but we know that you are a good God. We know that you are faithful. We know that you are true. We know that you will fill whatever shoes need to be filled around here because of your graciousness and your goodness as a good, good Father. So bless them today and in these coming weeks as they pack up and as they get ready to go and as they say their goodbyes, Lord, fill their heart with the goodness of God. Fill their heart with gratitude. Lord, we are so grateful for them and for you, for giving them to us to share life together this last many years, Lord. So be a blessing to them. Help them be strong. Help them to find just the right place to flourish and to grow and to be fruitful for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.